Today on Media Alert Sandwich, we have a special guest, a news reporter, Dave.
And who's going to tell us about how to get in touch with the news, how to do so, and when?
And by the way, this was also the second time I've been on this network, the Pod Bros, this week.
Oh yeah, this is a Pod Bros show.
Welcome to episode 33 of Media Litter Sandwich. I'm Toden from Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK. With me is Mark Monster from
CrazyMark.com.
And William from
AllAboutWilliam.com.
Now, today it's not all about William. We actually have a guest with us.
Me?
Yes. One of the other Daves that we know. You want to go ahead and introduce yourself?
I'm Dave Herndon. I'm a professional journalist for various sources, and I also make and sell Comic-Con related jewelry.
You know, figures, we have another Comic-Con and events. Can I say specialist, or do I just say loser? I'm not quite
sure. No. Specialist vendor. They're never losers at Comic-Con. Never. That, you should be plastered, Toden.
That's
blasphemy.
True. That's
Toden,
true.
Toden, you blasphemous,
Toden. In fairness, you can honestly say I've never been a loser, because every show I've ever set up at, I've made money.
There you go.
Maybe not much. Might be a dollar, but I've turned a profit.
That's true. And we do have a lot of love for our vendors at the Comic-Cons. You know, we could probably sit here and shout out vendors all day. I will do a shout out to Bagel and Sugar Cube, because Sugar Cube's probably watching this.
Hey, Sugar Cube, what's up?
Yeah, and I'm sure she'll
Dragon Jewels. That's her new name.
That's it. I was wondering what, because I saw her YouTube channel. She has a YouTube channel now.
Yeah, she recently changed the name, I think, and I had trouble remembering that.
Okay, so Dave is a veteran news reporter doing many things, including photojournalism a little bit.
I am. I've been a photojournalist for about 8 years. I've been in the journalism field for going on 14. Mm-hmm. As a professional, if by professional you count the very first time I got paid to do it, I was 17. So I've been doing it almost 15 years now, yet I'm only 32.
But I'm going to jump to my question, which is, how do I get into the news? Well, we all here cover events in one way or another, and I'm sure some people that are listening are filmmakers. How do we contact different news organizations to be featured?
Well, first off, I got to say, it's very weird being on this side of an interview. Like, I'm the one that asks the questions normally.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, I guess. I guess now I get to see what it's like. But to be honest, you know, it takes your question in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
One, do you want to be featured before an event? Like, you want to advertise that you're planning this event? Or do you want coverage after the fact?
Good question. Now, I know for me, I want coverage after the fact because I want my video to be featured. I know promoters want to be covered before the fact because they want more people at the event. I'm more interested in people watching my video, and I'm even more interested in you if you do cover before an event to feature the video from last year to be part of that. So I'm all about coverage in general.
Okay, well, we'll take it from the start then for pre-show coverage. One, you're going to want to find out who, you know, what organization you're reaching out to. Is it a newspaper? Is it a radio station? Mm-hmm. Is it a TV station? I've worked a little bit in all three, so I have a little bit of perspective there, although my TV and radio stuff does go, but it predates, like, being on the internet a lot. Like, obviously the internet existed, but mm-hmm. The TV station I worked at, we basically didn't use our website, and the radio station I worked at, again, we very rarely used the website other than to say, hey, we're going to be here, we're going to be there. So my experiences there are a little older, but with a newspaper, find out who is, especially you're talking about promoting zombie crawls and Comic-Con, stuff like that.
Right. In my case, yes.
So for your case, look for who's the entertainment editor, if they have one. A lot of newspapers don't anymore. Staff keeps shrinking. The newspaper I'm at now, we have 3 full-time staff members that produce our newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us are officially in entertainment. Now, I happen to love entertainment stuff, and I cover it as much as I can. So, you know, you reach out to whoever you can at the newspaper. You tailor it to them, though. Be like, you know, we're putting on this zombie crawl, and your newspaper is in Toledo. So we've got these six people that are all from Toledo or live in Toledo now or have Toledo ties. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to know if you want to feature one or all of them in some way. And we'll set up how you can interview them. Or if they're super busy, send them a press release that has all that information in it already. Mm-hmm. They can choose either to rewrite the press release or to contact you to reach out to do more in-depth coverage.
So is it weird, you know, because I cover events for my YouTube channel, so it would be weird... Would it be weird if I write a press release for my video about an event, even though I'm not an organizer of the event? Is it weird if I make a press? No?
Because to be perfectly honest, one, we do less with more. I personally can't know about everything that happens in any community I cover. It's very hard.
Mm-hmm. But by the same token, Dave, you're saying maybe drop some names of some local peeps to get some attention from the media then.
Right. You're like, you know, Mark Monster from Monroe, Michigan's going to be there.
Or Jim Demick.
From Demick, Michigan, sure.
No. He was at the Plymouth Comic Con.
But, you know, you specifically, you know, you reach out to the hometown where the people are going to be if the show isn't already in. Like, say you want me to cover the Motor City Comic Con.
Okay.
Which, of course, is huge, and we're going to cover it somehow, some way, anyway, if we so choose. But, you know, it's not in the coverage area of the newspaper I work at. So now you got to give me a reason why my readers would care to go all the way to Novi.
Okay.
So it's like, well, you know, Mark or Jim or, you know, whoever, depending on what area you're in, is from this area. They're going to be a featured guest. They wrote this comic book. It's popular. They're going to be there. You should let your readers know they can go out and see the hometown guy.
That really does bring up an interesting point. Because I used to try to get as much information from people I interviewed or get on camera. Hey, look, can you sign this? Can you? And I just found it to be very overwhelming. It's just easier just to hand out a business card. Hey, you know, subscribe or do this or do that. You'll be able to get this. I know, William, you do something similar. You mm-hmm. say, hey, look, if you want the pictures, email me. Here's my email.
Yes.
You know, I'll send them to you directly.
Or they'll hand me their business card, which is the way I prefer it.
But the point we're getting, and this is, we're not learning about the person to able to advertise the person as part of the thing. I mean, every once in a while, I'll be like, oh, cool, this person did a great cosplay. Or, hey, I got Jake the Snake cosplaying with a local Ghostbuster cosplay group.
Well, now, specifically to answer the second part of your question mm-hmm. from earlier about how you would get coverage.
Okay.
You know, whatever city you're from, and I believe you're here in Southgate.
Right.
So you would reach out to your local newspaper and be like, hey, I live in the area, and I did this. It was out of the area, but I did this. Would you be interested in sharing it on your website? Because obviously, mm-hmm. obviously a newspaper can't print your video.
Right. But they could share it on
their website,
on
social media.
Twitter, and all that good stuff.
And so you reach out to the local newspaper. The local radio stations and TV stations, maybe they're probably not going to do it as much, but you know you make friends with them, you make it easy for them, you know, provide them two or three paragraphs that they can post about the video, the embed code and a screenshot. Mm-hmm. That way, you know, they've got a photo to go with it, they've got the video, they've got the information they want, and it's going to take them however long it takes to upload something to their website, but that's all it's going to take. They have to do no research.
Is emailing better than social media, such as tweeting out?
In that sense, yes. Mm-hmm. Because you're providing all the information. Because to be perfectly honest, I'll click retweet on a lot of things that are local. Mm-hmm. Because I have it specifically in my social media profiles that retweets are not endorsements. Therefore, I can share pretty liberally whatever. You know, you're from the area I cover, fine. You know, there's your tweet. I'll cover it. But that's not helping my organization.
Right.
My organization wants, you know, people on the website. They want people to do this and that. So we want you to get to contact us, give us the information, help us get the information, however, so that we can share it through our site to people.
And retweets and reshares are great, but it's better when the person actually adds something to it. Instead of just hitting that share button and sharing it, it's just so much better when they add, you know, their own sentence to it, because it shows that you have actually watched it.
Exactly.
And so you're saying Twitter is the main social media that you go to for your in the know.
Twitter is great if you're a 17-year-old or younger person or a journalist. To be honest, most regular people don't use Twitter.
No.
It's high school kids and professionals.
I heard comedians as well.
Well, yeah.
And To not get into too specifics, but if you want somebody to actually see your work, Twitter's not a great place. And I say this specifically, I did a story within the last 4 to 6 months. I can't tell you exactly when because I write a lot. But it was retweeted by a member of the Detroit Lions who had 35,000 followers. And I use either bit.ly or go.gl links so that I can actually track who clicks on my links. Not who, but how many.
Makes sense.
And I shared the link on my own social media pages and this and that, and it had a couple hundred clicks. A couple hours later, it was retweeted not only by that player, but by that player's wife, who's a model. She also had several thousand followers. Between them, they shared it out to about 40,000 followers.
Oh, yeah.
And the link only got about 60 more views than it had when I had shared it to just my people.
Oh, wow.
So 40,000 people had the potential to see it, and it only got about 40 clicks, so about 1% click-through.
Now, one thing that I've noticed, because I've had that happen to me as well, the most successful that I've got with someone retweeting me was somebody that very rarely, tweets people and, had something more to add to it. And it was like, hey, look, this is an amazing thing to look at. I want to be on this guy's show again, but he didn't tweet out an episode that he was on. I'm talking about Kevin MacLeod, which he's very known only to people that care enough to learn his name.
Well, and to be honest, I think part of that is, said NFL player hits retweet. My tweet, because he just retweeted, he didn't add anything to it, shows up in all these other people's feeds. They don't know who I am, so they're not clicking on it because they might not notice where it said retweeted by whoever. They're just like, well, I don't actually follow that guy. How'd he get there? And they just move on. Or they hit like, or they even retweeted themselves without actually clicking the link because you give them the sentence about, John Smith, the Lions linebacker, was at this event, and there's a photo attached, and they like the photo, they hit like, or they hit retweet, and they move on.
Yeah, that retweet with quotes is so much better than hitting retweet. I know a lot of people share my stuff, and I'm always extremely grateful when people share. I always ask people to share. Like, if you're listening or watching to this now and you're enjoying this, please reshare. What I appreciate, on top of that, or at least let me say what works better for more people to watch it is when you add your own thoughts. And I know we've talked about this in Facebook groups and stuff. If someone just drops a link and walks away, people avoid it. It's like a grenade. You just dropped it and walked away. It blows up. If no one's around, no one's around. But if you bring attention to it and then drop the grenade, you're likely to get
a couple people.
Yeah. Leave it to marketing.
Did that on Instagram, too.
You get your target.
Yeah. At times. Now, I do a lot of different reporting at anything and everything in the communities I cover. A lot of times I'll go to a crime group and share the story. And I don't want people to think I'm making a comment on the crime. So a lot of times I will post it either without a comment or I'll just say, shared without comment.
Okay.
And that's just, that as a journalist, that's because I don't want to express my opinion on a story that I wrote. Now, a lot of times I will share coworker stories and be like, hey, this guy's an idiot. Look at what he did. Because that's not a story I worked on. I can have an opinion. I can't have an opinion on anything that I specifically am involved with as a reporter.
So you're willing to put an opinion on something your coworker worked on, but could that be seen as bias because you work for the same company?
Some people might, but to be honest, I'm a person, I'm a human being, I have opinions. I work as hard as I possibly can to not let my opinion show in my own coverage. But if somebody does something stupid and I didn't write the story, I feel more than free to have a comment.
Okay. Yeah, I want to jump on this a little bit more. Sharing opinions. Now, there are so many news sources out there. I'm not going to say they're fake, but people refer to them as fake. But there are so many sources out there, so many blogs that may have some credible news in there, but it's so highly opinionated. What's your take on that?
Well, that's part of the problem, and that's part of the problem in society today is one, people don't know how to find a credible news source. Two, credible news sources are harder to find because there's so much out there, and some of it hides itself. Like, CNN.com might be great, but then there's also, news.cnn.com that's run by some guy out of his mom's basement because he managed to find that similar link, and it confuses people.
Dude, man, there's always the Weekly World News.
And by the way, I made up that news.cnn. I don't know if that actually exists. That was just an example.
I don't know. I had dinner with an alien. and Bigfoot and Elvis.
But yeah, that's part of the problem. And I will name names to a certain extent. Fox News,
okay,
which love it, hate it, whatever. A lot of their programming isn't news. It's opinion and commentary.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But because it's called the Fox News Channel, people just assume everything on it's news. And while I may not agree with their opinions, they're free to have them. They're not necessarily trying to hide it as news. They talk about it as it's a commentary show, it's this and that. But the people watching don't understand the difference between commentary and news. They get it confused. Somebody on there states an opinion or whatever. People take that as fact. They go spread it around. And it happens the same way with it, whether it's right wing, left wing, whatever. Commentary stuff gets confused like that.
Are you telling me it becomes great all of a sudden, you know?
Are you telling me shows like The View isn't news?
I'm going to have a Fox water because it's the best water. That's exactly
what I'm saying. And unfortunately, that trickles down even to local news. Mm-hmm. Not so much where I work, and I'm not mentioning that, but you know, people will look at it and be like, well, if we make a mistake... And it's an honest mistake, or we're given bad information. You know, we're not perfect. And sometimes you get taken in, you believe somebody. And again, this isn't where I work, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit. But if you remember going back about a month or so ago, when the first travel ban was passed by the president.
Oh, yeah.
Fox News, Fox Detroit, not the national, Fox. But the local.
Right.
Ran that story about the guy whose mother died while waiting because she wasn't allowed to come back to America. I don't know if you saw that one specifically.
I remember that. I saw some of that. Yeah,
it blew up for him. It was a huge story locally.
Yeah.
And about 24 hours later, they found out that the guy flat out lied. She had died several days earlier. It had nothing to do with the ban. And they corrected their own story. They ran the correction and they did everything they could do. But everybody started attacking them because they didn't fact check the story. Well, it's really hard to fact check a story when you're talking about a woman that's already dead in a foreign country we have no relations with.
Yeah, Dave, I just got to ask you here. Where do you draw the line between sensationalism and journalism?
I personally try not to be sensationalist at all.
Okay.
I believe fact is fact and everything else is crap. Now, mm-hmm. I like some of the crap sometimes. I'll read it. But you have to be able to tell the difference. And I try hard not to respect any journalist, actual journalist, who tries to be sensationalist.
Define sensationalist.
I'm trying to think. Say there's a... you're putting me on the spot here.
Totem's great, like, great at doing like stuff like that.
The way you would write a headline for a story, say.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, the headline is, you know, house burns to the ground. And, you know, so you would write, you know, house in Monroe County burns to the ground, or house in Belleville, or you know, right, wherever. But all of a sudden, somebody else comes along, and they're like, well, there were six people in a house that caught fire. Even though they were all out safe, but you put in the headline, six people were in the house burned to the ground. And you got to click the link to find that out. It's clickbait.
Mm-hmm.
And clickbait is not news, no matter what you know... Five things to do on a windy day. That's not news.
Number two is going to blow your mind.
And it might, especially because it's windy.
It's going to blow your hair.
So you got to throw that human element in there somewhere of dread, death, doom, something like that.
And to be perfectly honest, I read a lot of clickbait because, one, sometimes there is real news embedded in it.
Mm-hmm.
And two, let's face it, I spend a lot of time on the internet, and if you're not reading clickbait, what else are you doing legally?
Cats and other stuff.
So, but clickbait to me, while it may drive page views and it may help certain news organizations, you know, make money, keep the doors open, mm-hmm. however you want to say it, it's still not news. It's soft news. Hard news is fact. Soft news is opinion or opinion-based. And I, like I said, I read a lot of soft news. I love entertainment news. I may not read about, you know, Kanye and Kim and this and that, but I'll read about movies and comics, and that's not really hard news either, right. But so it's really hard to draw the line. It's not black and white.
Okay, well, let's start wrapping this up here. Now, if you want to hear more from Dave, you are actually making an appearance at PenguinCon, which we will all be at PenguinCon in April. Be the last weekend of April. I'm trying to actually put out some of the events that we're going to be at because I always forget this.
That's like April 28th, 29th.
Yes.
And 30th.
And you can find it at penguincon.org, I believe.
Yes.
Yes. And now, you know, this will only be like my fifth year there, and I've yet to see a penguin.
Really? There was a balloon penguin the first year I went.
No. I want a real penguin. A real live penguin. Can we get one for like the pool?
Picture of Burgess
Meredith? No, that's a really good question. Yeah. I'm gonna ask about that. I'm going to a meeting on Sunday about PenguinCon, and I'm going to toss that idea.
Wait. I mean,
even if I'm not a real one, but someone in a suit that goes swimming in the pool.
Hey, wait.
Like the mermaids.
I've seen Comic-Cons or conventions that bring in mermaids. Why not penguins?
Hey, well, because the pool is so far away from everything, but that would be interesting.
So we'll expand.
Rachel Carroll, we need you to cosplay as a penguin lady. Come on up to PenguinCon.
What are some of the other events we're hitting? We're getting BolaCon.
Adrian Comic-Con. You're all going to be at Adrian Comic-Con. So you're going to have to go on down to Adrian, Michigan. That's going to be April the 8th over at Siena Heights University. Check it out. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a 1 o'clock podcast panel, Media Litter Sandwich, and Pod Bros. They're going to be there. Of course, Media Litter Sandwich being part of Pod Bros. So that's, you know.
I believe we organized that before we even told Pod Bros.
So bro there.
And same thing can be said about BolaCon, which is down the line in July.
July 14, 15, 16 over at Woodland Lanes. It's going to be $10. Gets you in bowling, all you can bowl. Free shoes with that. So it's more like a sports event with a Comic-Con.
And we're going to try to start putting these on the website, MediaLayerSandwich.com. But if you're interested in any of us, because we're all at events all the time, feel free to check All About William at his website.
AllAboutWilliam.com.
Mark Monster at
CrazyMark.com.
And you can also find information about Dave.
Well, I do have a blog, Manchild Confessions. I don't write in it nearly as often as I used to, but I'm also on Twitter at NHDaveH.
And I'm at Toden.com and YouTube.com/ToadenK, where you can also watch the video of our podcast. And as always, we always like to thank Pod Bros. You can always find all of our podcasts over at Pod Bros as well. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you enjoyed our discussion.